I'm a different place trying to improve this.
Okay, even
where are you? Where are you? Looks like you have a.
I'm in a washroom.
Yeah, I was gonna say it looks like you're in a washroom. Looks like you have a very lovely washroom.
Not mine. It's my friend's. She does very well. Very well.
We're going live on YouTube, guys. Just a heads up, we are going live on YouTube. And Gary, you look great. You look really good in a washroom.
Well, it's not a washroom exactly. It's a laundry room.
It's a laundry room, but you know, you never know. It looks like there could be a bathroom in there. I see a box of the tissues. So one never knows if they combined everything.
Well, close it.
On that note, I want to welcome everybody to the World According to Ben Stein Saturday Night Special. We are all on location tonight. Of course, let's welcome from the simplelifenow.com, Gary Collins.
Gary U.S. Bonds.
Oh, I like that. That's an old school, Ben.
Gary's the man men want to be with and women want to talk to. And of course, this show wouldn't be complete without actor, provocateur, lover, saint, sinner, everything above. But of course, doctor and America's humble servant, Benjamin Jeremy Stein, we salute you.
And I will be opening my office on Monday at 11 a.m. You'll have to make appointments with my secretary, Miss Magdalene, and she will let you.
But on that note, I want to get right into it. It was very disturbing. First of all, you posted a great post today about the 70s and this sort of being deja vu all over again. But I wanted to bring up something, Ben and Gary. We've been told to be in lockdown for the better part of a year. We've been
very
told
close to exactly a year.
We've been told to follow the rules. Put on masks, distance, don't go here, don't go there, stay home. Basically wreck an economy that was doing extraordinarily well. And we were told, and we played by the rules. We did. Most Americans played very well by the rules. And now...
people moving out, people moving in, all because of the color of their skin.
Ball of confusion by the temptations. Thank you, Ben. But as we're looking right now, they call it a crisis, but this isn't a crisis. We have a catastrophe right now going on at the border. So while we were told to stay inside in a lockdown, they've opened the door and let people in that we know for sure have COVID. We know for sure have other diseases. It's insane, Ben.
Just insane. You know, I would attribute it to a clever plot, but I don't think there's anybody there at the Democrat headquarters clever enough to think of this plot. They just had an idea during the campaign. We all seem like good guys. The Trump people seem like heartless villains. And so we'll just let all the children in. They didn't think to themselves, what do we do with the children once they're in? Children can come in, they can be in for 72 hours, locked up, in cages, as the Democrats would say, and then they have to be let out. But where do they go? Where do they go? They don't have family here. They don't have jobs here. They're not Harvard or MIT or Stanford. Where do they go? So now I understand that the plan is to put them at a giant abandoned army fort in, I forget where it is, but somewhere, it's either in South Carolina or New York. Not that there's much difference between South Carolina and New York, and put them in those places. But they can't be kept there forever. So what do we do with them? We invited this crisis, this catastrophe into America because the people in the Biden/Harris campaign could only think of doing dirt to Trump. They couldn't think of any of the consequences of it for the country or for the children. They really showed incredible hard-heartedness.
What do you say about that, Gary?
Well, not only that, but we forget, we've already, you know, our news cycle is so fast and we have such short memories. We forget the fact that BLM and Antifa were having rallies, burning down cities without masks, without 6 foot distancing. Now we got illegals crossing the border, not being tested, entering our country, but yet COVID, we're all the law-abiding citizens who pay for everything, who make this country work. We're supposed to shut up, sit down, put on your mask, put on 3 masks. And by July, Mr. Biden might let me hang out with my family, maybe. And not
with a mask and distance.
Yeah, and some of my family. Not all of them, just some. But all the illegals can cross the border, have a big party, burn down the city. Antifa can burn down the city. Not a problem. Does anyone know that Portland is on fire right now? Does anyone know that?
No, I did not know that. I mean, yeah. Are you speaking literally? Or
no, he means literally. Explain to him, Gary.
Right now, ever since that Biden came into office, Portland has been an absolute disaster. Nothing has changed. If anything, it's gotten worse. Our great journalists and media are not reporting on it at all.
I have to say, this reminds me of when the Allies were bombing Hamburg and Emden and various other important German cities. The Führer decided, we're just not going to cover this. And even Goebbels, for God's sake, not a nice guy, said, we have to report it. It's a big, big story. And the Führer said, no, we're just not going to report it. And that's what's happening now in, I guess, maybe, is it in just Portland or is it in Seattle too? I think maybe it's in Seattle too.
Well, Seattle's had issues too, but Portland has never stopped. Portland has been, it literally has had some small drawdowns. Now they're actually trying to refund the police because it's gotten so out of control.
But nobody wants to come back.
No one wants to talk about that. You know, let's think about this. We have completely utter destruction. No one's following the law. Let's get rid of the police department and let's expect that to go well. Now they're crying, going, oh, now you need to come back. If I was the police department in Portland, I'd go screw yourself. Burn this place down. We don't care.
Burn, baby, burn.
But they're peacefully protesting. So those fires in the background, ignore that. They're just trying to keep warm. They're just trying to stay warm.
What we're seeing is a revolution. You say you want a revolution? Won't you know it? We all want to change the world. You say what you said, tells me that's evolution. Well, I forget what comes after that. But what we're seeing is a big chunk of the northwestern part of this country, one of the most beautiful places on God's earth, being turned to ashes by Democrats and anarchists. And the president of the United States does not have the balls to take on any of the responsibility of calming things down. This is shameful.
But I want to get back to this.
Did you watch the speech, though? Ben, did you finally get a chance to watch his speech?
I'm sorry, sir?
Did you get a chance to watch Biden's speech?
I'm sorry, I did not. I should have.
You got to watch it, Ben. It's disturbing. He is completely, utterly lost. He is nothing but a puppet. Not only that, but the lighting freaked me out. They had so many lights and shades and filters on this guy that he honestly looked like on almost a cartoon. And that's what I mean. We have a puppet for a president. We don't have a president right now. He's not doing anything.
With the greatest respect to you, my dear friend, Gary, with the greatest respect to Judah, my dear friend, and to all my friends who are watching this show, I've been writing about this. Where is the president? Do we even have a president? Where is the president? And yet, amazingly, Americans, apparently, if you are to believe the voting counting, which some of us do and some don't, we do have a president. But where is he? What's he doing? Where are you, Mr. Biden?
Question I have for both of you, getting back to this border thing, as we're allowing this mass migration to happen, we're all pissed. The people that listen to the show are pissed. Trump supporters are pissed. Republicans, some of them hopefully are pissed. But how are people in America, do people in America hate this? Do a lot of people just hate this country so much and American exceptionalism that they're willing to have been locked down for a year and allow this crap to cross our border. What goes into that?
I'm sorry to say, I don't think many of your ordinary run-of-the-mill Americans do, but I think the people running the Democrat Party are just so filled with anger and confusion that they don't know anything but to harm. They just know harm, do harm to all who come anywhere near us, and we'll see how it winds up. But to you, Judy, you've been asking me during the day, does it remind me of the 70s and the Nixon years when Nixon was felled by a media coup? Yes, very much it reminds me of that. But it reminds me of the
70s.
But it reminds me of that when the Republicans had fallen away and we had, God help us, we had Jimmy Carter, and now Jimmy Carter looks like Thomas Jefferson compared with what we've got now. I mean, it's just, we have basically nobody. Basically, the White House at this point is empty.
And Gary, I want
very frightening. Very frightening.
Gary, you brought up this point right now, and I want to get into this because Rock Breath has asked this question, and Ben, I want to ask this question of you. So they broke into the federal building in Portland, and Gary's right, this is a non-story. They broke, so in comparison to the storming of the Capitol, it's sort of fascinating to me, the eerie that that one is considered an insurrection and one is just whatever, not reported at all.
Yeah, well, because we have an insurrection by the media. After the 68 Democrat convention, when there had been so much rioting, so much burning, and so much beating by the police, there was a commission. Now, I may have this name wrong. I beg your pardon if I do. I think it was called the Kerner Commission, but I may have that name wrong. And the commission studied it, and they said, in Chicago, the police rioted. It wasn't the demonstrators. It wasn't Abby and Jerry. It was the police that rioted. I don't know if that's true or not, but I know one thing's going on now. The media has been rioting for a year. The media and the government, the deep state, have been rioting for a year, and they're still rioting, trying to bring down this country. I am speaking to you now from an undisclosed location, which actually is a country club that my wife and I belong to, down here in the desert. And we're hiding out here, so to speak. At least I'm hiding out here. She's hiding out in her own undisclosed location. And but I fear for people who do not have a place to go hide out. I mean, we have another undisclosed location in North Idaho. We can go hide out there too. But I'm scared of people. I mean, what's to stop this rioting from going on everywhere? The police have been emasculated. What's to stop the rioting from going on everywhere?
Gary?
Right now, there's nothing because no one's doing, well, especially in liberal cities. I don't think you're going to get away with this in Plano, Texas, or, you know, South Dakota. I just don't think that's going to fly. But in a lot of these liberal cities, if anything, they're encouraging it. And I'm all for protesting and standing up for what you believe in. Well, we've talked about this before. Once you go into violence and you start affecting other people who are innocent, who have done nothing, then I have a problem with it. And what we're seeing too at the border, and we've been asked, Remso, me and Remso talked about this after the fact, because a lot of people think that I'm not for a border wall. I'm torn because human beings love to inflict pain on each other. There's a lot of evil in the world. And to have an open border in a sense is kind of stupid. I wish it was otherwise, but here's the problem with the border. It's been politicized, and hundreds, if not thousands, of contractors and politicians have gotten rich off the border and have gotten reelected without any substance off the fence. That's what I have a problem with, the fence. We should have already had this wall up decades ago, but it takes, you know, 15 years to build 100 feet of wall, and it cost $18 million just to build the stupid thing.
$18 million, my God.
Yeah, billion, I'm sorry.
$18 billion.
Yeah. And we've gotten into crazy land, and I think we're at a point I'm at a point, and people ask me what I think about masks. I don't wear one anymore. I'm done. I'm over it. You want to yell at me, kick you out of your store, knock yourself out. There are certain stores that I know I have to go in with a mask. I go in as fast as I can. They go, do you need any help? I go, absolutely not. I get my stuff. I get in and get out of there. That's it. Otherwise, I don't wear one. Even in the places that say require masks, I've found that most people go, hey, you know you're required to wear a mask. I go, yes, and I keep walking.
By the way, something just came up on my screen. I'm not sure if it came up on everybody else's screen, but it's from Rock Breath. And he said, I don't see anything about the Chicago police rioting. Interestingly enough, I do remember the exact Life magazine cover when it had a picture of the demonstration, and it said, Kerner Commission report, quote, in quotes, the police rioted. So I happen to remember that exactly. No,
you're speaking about the 1960s.
I'm talking about 1968 or 69.
1968, that Rock. He didn't mean actually, yeah. I don't think, literally today. But if you just If you just tuned in, you are listening to The World According to Ben Stein. We are all on location tonight. I want to thank everybody in the
undisclosed
chat. Undisclosed location. I am definitely in an undisclosed location. And if you, Gary's in a laundry room.
I'm in an undisclosed washroom.
In a washroom. And I want to thank everybody that's listening and commenting, but I want to remind everybody to download the podcast if you can. Apple Podcasts or wherever you're downloading podcasts is possible. Also follow us on Parler at Ben Stein. Parler's back in action. So please do that. And of course, benstein.substack.com, americanspectator.org. You can follow him and you can follow Gary's amazing podcast and all his life amazing affirming advice at thesimplelifenow.com.
It's I'm proud.
I'm proud of myself. It's an incredible website, and go there. But I want to welcome everybody back to The World According to Ben Stein, and I want to get into something else, man, because in a sense, you know, I was a baby with Carter, and the reason, you know, we were talking about Carter and thinking about that was because inflation was on the rise. You had gas prices surging. And you had he was capitulating to the Ayatollahs. I mean, that's three for three. And a lot of people like to compare Biden saying he's Obama 2.0, but the similarities between him and Nick and him and Carter are just through the roof, sir.
Carter was a person of astounding fecklessness and dishonesty. I used to write a column for a magazine called, I'll be honest, Penthouse. I didn't write anything about sex in it because I don't know anything about sex, but I wrote a column about politics, and they wanted me to write a piece comparing Jimmy Carter with Mr. Nixon. And I did quite a lot of research on Jimmy Carter, and what I found out was that almost every word he said about himself was a lie. He was not a peanut farmer. He was a peanut broker and owned a series of warehouses, which he had inherited from his father and grandfather. He was not a nuclear engineer on a submarine. He had some role on a submarine, but he was not, had nothing to do with the nuclear power plant. And so he made up all these things about himself. And the same is true about the Democrats now. I mean, we have a woman who is vice president, and God bless her, it's a long time. Long overdue that we had a woman vice president. long overdue, I think. But she isn't, she claimed to be black and she isn't black. There's a certain amount of dishonesty there. I would like to see a Democrat party.
Forgot. Hold on, Ben, 1 second. You forgot. Joe Biden claimed to go to a school that he didn't go to.
His first major speech he gave when he was running for president the first time was simply stolen word for word from a British labor right high officer. I believe it is true that he graduated last in his class from his law school class. There's something so dishonest about this man. It's frightening.
And by the way, he was arrested, right?
In
some country. He said he was arrested at the Capitol. So, yes. I mean, the similarities between him and the peanut broker are just frightening. That's
right. But also, the peanut, go back to Iran. the U.S. has for decades labeled Iran as the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism. Mr. Carter could not work hard enough or fast enough to kiss the ass of the Ayatollahs. Same thing with Mr. Biden. He can't work hard enough or go fast enough to kiss the ass of the Ayatollahs. Why? What on earth have they ever done for us? What makes us think they can be trusted? Who on earth ever got away with trusting them? And yet Mr. Biden thinks that the key to his foreign policy in the Mideast is going to be trusting the Ayatollahs. This makes Chamberlain, Prime Minister Chamberlain, look like George Washington.
Well, here's something even, I just came to me, and I've talked about this before. I held a top secret clearance my entire military law enforcement career. I did clearances and was part of the process back when I was early in the military. What all these things you guys just talked about and Ben said would disqualify every single one of these people from ever holding a security clearance in the U.S. government. Let that sink in. None of these people, for what they have lied about, what they have done, would disqualify them permanently from holding a clearance in the U.S. government, but yet their president, vice president, and hold high
positions. Terrifying. And who at the FBI was warning us about this? No one. Who at the CIA was warning us about this? No one. Wifey and I pray every night for the people who take care of us, in the military, the police, sheriffs, deputies, National Guard. And we're now having painfully to say, and those who are still honest in the FBI and the CIA, because they have been subverted on a scale which I would have thought impossible. Joe McCarthy would not have believed it even conceivable that this could have happened. Even Joe McCarthy would not have even dreamed this could happen. I'm going to turn off my phone now, Jude. I know you wanted me to leave it on, but I'm going to turn it off.
Gary?
Strange times, my friends. We're just in strange times. If we're a rational human being, you sometimes think you're going crazy. You literally do. And this reminds me of the end of my government career. I remember going, is there something wrong with me? Did I bump my head too many times in high school football? I don't understand what's going on. And I think we've come to a point, like we've talked about and Ben's talked about, is kind of this civil disobedience of, you know, if you're not going to follow the Constitution and you're going to screw me and take my money, I'm not going to follow your rules. I think that's almost where we're getting to. And the problem with that is, can we come back from that? If people, no one's following the rules, does it just dissolve our whole society? And where does that go? I hope we don't, but it's ridiculous. When that speech of Biden's was, I've listened to a lot of presidential speeches in my life. I don't remember any being as disturbing as that one was.
Would you do me a great favor and just give me a couple of examples of why it was so disturbing?
The biggest one was what kind of tipped me over to where, what are these guys talking about? And then I went, oh, now I get it. They said, once, if everyone gets immunized, we can get back to normal. That was the gist. All Trump's fault. Trump didn't do anything. We're fixing all of his mistakes. Thank God we created all these immunizations out of nowhere in 60 days, which is complete BS. We know that. This has been going on for a year in the works. They're claiming all success. The thing when they said, well, maybe in July, if you guys do what we say, you might be able to have a 4th of July gathering and maybe hang out with some of your family. Maybe. And I went, here we go. And
moving the goalposts.
What's the press secretary's name? I can never remember name.
Ben Psaki.
I just call her Shitsky. She's a complete, utter village idiot if there ever was one. And they ask her, they go, hey, so what do you think of this? What is the rule? We heard him say this. She goes, well, maybe. And her answer just, I went, we're on a road to communism. That's where we're going. And I don't say that lightly. They're out of their minds. They want to control us. And I honestly have just had enough. If you expect me to wear 3 masks, go get immunized by something, I don't need it. I don't even need it. I don't need to be immunized. It's my choice. I get to deal with that. And if you're going to say I can't travel, I can't hang around with my family, I can't be near my grandmother, go screw yourself. I don't care anymore. I'm over it. You don't have the right to tell me to do those things, period. And that's where I'm getting frustrated. It's scary. Honestly, Ben, please go back. It's not long. Because the
I will do it. Maybe Judah could mail me the link because Judah is so much better at that than I think
the highlights, Ben.
I would like to respectfully get to something else, if I may, before time, that demon, especially for us old people, closes in on us. Can we talk about Mr. Cuomo for a moment?
Now, I wanted to get to that in a bit, but I just want to get through this crazy time of, because I really think you said with the kowtowing to Iran, you know, you wrote an you defended, you called it in 2008, you basically said, if we would have bailed out Lehman Brothers, we would have stopped the collapse of us going into a recession, right? And
absolutely true.
And I want to get to something about as far as with the Ayatollahs, have we learned nothing, right? Have we learned, like, from this is what, 1979, 1978, so it's 42 years, 43 years later. Have we learned nothing about, have the Democrats learned nothing? So it begs the question, is it deeper rooted? What is it about Iran? Because we know Iran is the biggest supplier of statewide terrorism. And both Biden and the Democrats, there's one common denominator in that region that gets screwed by these two schmucks. And that's Israel, and it, and we know the radicals that are in Biden's party, and we knew that Carter was an absolute radical. Are they really willing to burn the Middle East down for the? And I believe for their hatred of Israel.
I'm not sure they're willing to burn it down for their hatred of Israel, but I think they don't like Jews that much. It's a very sad thing, but the Democrat Party, which was a party of inclusion and inclusiveness and the Big Tent and diversity, has in fact, very unfortunately, become a party of racialism and anti-Semitism. So that's very unfortunate. The Democrat Party has never been a friend of Israel, never at any time. The big friend of Israel has always been the Republicans. It's heart-rendering, as my wife would say, that the Jews in large numbers vote Democrat. But there is something going on in the Democrat Party involving hatred of Jews and hatred of Israel that I don't quite understand. But it is definitely a frightening situation. But the Iran thing is even deeper than that. It's like there were certain people in the State Department in the 30s who thought Hitler was great before Hitler attacked Poland, even after Hitler attacked Poland. They thought Hitler was great. And was it because they hated Jews so much? Maybe so, could well be. But there is something about Iran that, like, a
magnet. Well, it seems to be the common denominator.
Attracts people to it. I'm sorry.
Ben, that seems to be the common denominator is the Jews. I mean, and I'm not saying this. Listen, I'm not saying this. I'm not one of those that walks around citing everything as anti-Semitic or anything like that, Gary. But when history repeats itself constantly with a certain party and they're aligning with a group of absolute anti-Semitic, anti-American, what else can I extrapolate from that, Gary?
Well, I honestly think this is a big part of it. The serfs have a short memory. And the reason they have a short memory is because they're never part of the game. In a sense of power, they're just pawns in the big game. And I think it goes bigger than what we're looking at. There is a disdain for the Jewish community in Israel, but I think they have a true hatred of America, period. They don't like the founders. They don't like the fact that this country is based upon freedom and free will. It pisses them off. They hate capitalism, but they love capitalism when it makes them rich. These are true, utter sociopaths. Period. They want to destroy this country.
Sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry, Gary. I beg your pardon.
You're fine. That's what I believe. And I hate to say that because I don't believe, you know, you guys know me. I'm in the middle. I don't like either party too much. But I've seen the Democrats go so far skewed left. that I don't even know what to think of them anymore. All I know is they want to do me harm. That's all I know. Not to say that the right doesn't want to do me harm either, but the left wants to destroy this country and everything that I believe in as a free being and free human being.
They Ben, he raises a great point. And obviously we're conservatives, so we sometimes could have blinders on. But the destruction the left wants to impose on us, you know, with rules, they want to decimate us. And where does that hatred, Ben? Have you ever witnessed this hatred in your life?
Oh, yeah. I've seen it. I've never seen this hatred against America, but I've seen this hatred. I mean, before World War II, I didn't see it. But in the starting in the 50s and 60s, when the extreme left, I'm going to say called as it is the communists, took over a large part of the American media establishment and took over a large part of the left-wing political establishment, then we had just pure hatred of America because they were being directed by the Communist Party of the Soviet Union. Now, people are really looking at me and say, oh my God, of course he's crazy. But I'm not. And sad to say, we look back on America. When was America most united? When we totally united, World War II. Why were we totally united? Because we were fighting on the same side as the Reds against the Nazis. Great, because the Nazis were unspeakably horrible. Great. But there was no question that the Russians were telling the American communists, go all out, be pro-American, as pro-American as you can be, and get those warplanes, those tanks, those trucks, those artillery pieces produced. Then when that ended, as soon as that ended, and we were no longer on the same side as the Russians, the media went its usual way and became anti-American, and they were no longer getting orders from Moscow telling them to be pro-American. Now people say, oh, Ben Simon, well, he's a well-known crazy person. And maybe I am. But I think once we were split up from the Russians and World War II was over and the Reds started to be able to pull the strings in the media again, then we started to see ever-growing anger towards the U.S. in the media and in the academy. And what I've seen in the academy, as I say, in the universities, in terms of hatred of America, is breathtaking. It's incredible. And just from the time I graduated from college in 66, from that time till now, it's been over a revolution of communism taking over at major universities and major campuses of major universities. My old stomping ground, UC Santa Cruz, where I used to teach and where I had some very, very good times, really, really good times. That they now have big time communists in big time jobs there. What? Paid for by the taxpayers of California? Are they crazy? At Yale, my alma mater for law school, they have super ultra leftist America haters all over the place. That was not true as recently as 1970. Where did that come from? Because the shackles are off. You're going to be as anti-American as you want. You're going to get total support from the rest of the anti-American media and academic establishment.
And if you just tuned in, you are listening to The World According to Ben Stein. And God, we are blessed as a nation to have you, Ben. We truly are. And the way you're able to view things is just incredible. But I want to thank everybody that's listening in the YouTube chat and commenting. I want to remind everybody to go to our newsletter, benstein.substack.com. Also, don't forget to download our podcast. Even if you watch the show, it is very, very helpful. And we love the humble support you've given us on Apple, on all the podcasts and 5-star reviews. We're joined tonight, of course, by America's handyman, Gary Collins. You can find him at thesimplelifenow.com. And of course, America's humble servant, Benjamin Jeremy Stein. And I know you want to get into this, but I want to wait a few minutes before we do, because I just want to end this Carter thing, because I do want to offer people hope, like you shared today. You know, as bad as a friend of mine brought up something very interesting to me on the phone today. It was the Democrats that brought in the filibuster rule, right? They were the one.
That was long, long, long time ago.
No, I understand. But be careful. We often think that because something is set in, everybody thinks because you change a rule, that rule is going to help you. Eventually, tides change and things change. And be careful what, and I'm referring now to HR 1, which I pray doesn't get passed. But, you know, eventually the tides will change. And, you know, and I just wonder, and so I just wanted to go to you. So you had the 70s, Ayatollah's Ben, we're going through inflation now, the beginning of it at least. Gas prices are high, but from that came Reagan. So there is a modicum of hope that we could have right now, Ben.
Well, modicum is the word, because there was Reagan. It's absolutely true. You pointed this out to me when we talked earlier today, Judah. We didn't know at that time how great Reagan would be. And I was on a panel with Reagan during the 80 campaign. And I remember him coming up to me and saying, gee, gosh, Ben, you gave a very good speech. Would you like to work on my campaign? And our family had always been friends with the Bushes. So I said, well, I think I'm already committed to working for Mr. Bush. But we had Reagan. We don't have anyone like Reagan now. We have Tom Cotton. He's great.
We have Trump still.
We have Trump still, absolutely. We have Tom. We have, I know you don't like him as much as I do. We have Lindsey Graham. I think he's great. I love him. I know you don't like him, but I love him.
But that's fine. You're entitled.
I love him. Anyway, we've got Mr. DeSantis. I think he's pretty darn good. But will any of them be strong enough to beat the media establishment? We need somebody who has got really balls of steel to take on the media establishment and fight them and win for America.
And we do have that. I still am a firm believer that Trump is going to make the most, Trump is going to make the comeback of comebacks. And that's in my humble opinion. But Gary, I know you seem extremely hopeless tonight, and I've never actually heard you speak in these certain terms with anger, I never even imagined you, like I said the other night, watching Biden speak, which I was, and I know it was by accident, but that really set off a storm in your head.
Oh, it pissed me off, because I don't like to live in a world of bliss. I like to focus on the things I can change and ignore the rest. But that speech was so infuriating to me as a veteran and as an American. It was insulting. It was absolutely insulting. And to think that they can tell me how I'm going to live my life by their rules, and they're going to allow me to live the life they want long as I do what they say. Man, you're poking the lion in the eye with that, you know? And for me, I agree, the hypocrisy, and not only that, but the irony, they complain and they force upon the things on us that, like freedom of speech and all the things that make this country great, that allow them to spew their rhetoric and their BS, are all the things they're trying to get rid of. Without those things, these crazy nut jobs wouldn't even be able to spew their views. That's the irony of it. And it drives me nuts that these people don't understand the only reason they're able to say what they're able to say is because this is the freest country on the planet. And yet they want to destroy all those things. That's pure insanity to me.
I think we went back, it's a very sad thing, but I think we go back to saying there are people in this country who love America. And there are people who don't love America and who even hate America. I have a very close relative, love her a lot. Can't tell you how much I love her like crazy. She does not love America. She thinks America is a terrible racist place. I don't understand it. I can't understand it. It's just a mystery to me. I think that it's some psychological problem. By any historical standard, this is the greatest country there has ever been. And I think it's almost a mental disease to dislike America.
Well, you make a good point, Ben, with the mental disease, because you live in the freest country in the world, and yet you complain and say it's the evilest, most systemic, racist country in the world, and yet you don't leave. Leave. I'll pay your plane ticket. Email me. I'll give you the money. Get the hell out of here. I'll send you to Cuba on my dime, and I'll guarantee I won't get one taker. All they want
to do is around. Judah is laughing because some time ago, quite a famous movie. Was it Alec Baldwin?
Yes, it was like, Alec Baldwin, yeah.
Alec Baldwin and I were, I forget where we were. Maybe we were both testifying about a federal appropriation for the National Endowment for the Arts. I don't remember exactly what it was, but he said something like, if the
Republicans... No, he had promised, let me just set it up quickly. On Saturday Night Live, I believe it was, he promised to leave America if Bush got reelected. And Bump and Ben, you could finish the story, but you bumped into him at a party, or that could have been the party, and you said that completely. You said this to him, but yeah.
Yeah, I said to him, I, Mr. Baldwin, I'm a fan, and I have the money for your plane ticket right here. And I don't think he left. But anyway, yeah, I see this happening a lot, and I haven't seen anybody leave, and I wish some of them would leave, but who would take them? Who would take them? I remember reading a story, a short story, a long time ago in the Saturday Evening Post. Yes, that's how old I am. In the Saturday Evening Post, about what America would be like if the Russians, Soviets took it over. And the first thing they would do would be to shoot all the communists, because they would figure that anybody who was crazy enough to hate America as great as it was had to be dangerously sick.
That's insane. And you know, it's you bring up a point, Gary, and both of you do. We're letting people are literally dying to get here, right? I mean, like people are literally, I mean, they're dying to get here. They're coming here sick. And this is my issue, by the way, because remember the Gang of Eight, right, was half Republican and half Democrat, Ben, who are in favor of amnesty and Rubio, and another Democrat and that idiot that should be in jail from Jersey, are arguing right now about Haitians, right? And that because Haiti is such a terrible place. And you know what? They're right. But the point is, we're and I'm not the first to say this, we're taking in young men. Isn't it their job to be in their country and to fight for their country, to make it a better country? I mean, these people are depriving by coming over here. And yet I get it's horrific, but fight for your damn country like America.
It's too horrible there. Believe me, you do not want to go up against the Tonton Macoot. You do not want to go up against them because it's a terrible country, but the government has all the guns, has a monopoly on violence. Yeah. This is what we were talking about with one of our panelists who is a libertarian. We do have to respect the fact that the government has a monopoly on violence, and that's true even in the most evil countries like Haiti. Let's not underestimate that, and let's not belittle people on leave.
But Ben, the point is we have a Republican and a Democrat saying, let's keep him here. As we're struggling as is, we don't know what diseases are coming in. There is no right, and this is like who gave these idiots the notion and the right to allow this mass migration of illegal immigration? I get it. People need to come in. They need safety. We're a country that could help, and we donate more money than any country combined. But at a certain point, it's like we got to protect ourselves, especially after a year of being told that we have to protect ourselves.
Simple fact. We just need to get the fact out. You can't save the world. You can't. Humans are evil. You can't save them all. So you're going to save them in order to destroy your own country. That's what they're doing. That is a fact. It's pissing me off. Again, I'm getting upset because I've just had it.
You're completely correct. And Ben, I'd like to remind you, when Israel had no guns, they still fought. When Israel didn't have an air force, and you're the one that introduced me to the documentary, they had one plane scare off the Egyptian air force. The one lone plane that they had scared off the Egyptian Air Force, and they stood their ground. They got black marketed guns in there. They were gun run too, and they managed to fight back. But they had basically nothing, because we know Truman wouldn't let guns be sold to Israel or anything. They were standing alone with you know what in their hand, praying to God and fighting back, learning how to fight. And you know, there was no America saying to them, oh, everybody come here. They wanted to be in their homeland. And I think that that speaks to another level. Do these people not have national, I get it. It's hard in Haiti, it's hard in Uganda, it's hard in Mexico, but there is a certain amount of national pride you should have if you're from a certain.
Sir, with the greatest respect to the people of Haiti, they don't feel the intensity about their country that the Jews feel about Israel. I don't think anybody feels the intensity about his or her country these days that the Jews do about Israel, the Israeli Jews do about Israel. I remind
them. Thank you for the differentiation.
What?
Thank you for the differentiation.
I'm reminded of Mr. Nixon in a private conversation I had with him speaking about that exact topic I'm going to be writing. I am actually in the process of writing a book about this. I'm not going to sell it to anyone. I don't want to be like Larry Klayman and try to sell anything to anyone. And he pointed out, with the amount of dedication that the Israelis have, they can do anything. And Peter Flanagan, one of Nixon's high officials, very close friend of our family, a wonderful, wonderful human being, said the real determining factor is in who wins wars is who's got the guts. And I think, do we as conservatives who love our country so much we would die for it, do we have the guts to stand up? Do we have the guts?
It's a great question. And if you just tuned in, you are listening to The World, according to that man, Dr. Benjamin Jeremy Stein, and of course, Gary Collins, who-
We are our special in April, which is, Physicists History Month is going to be the painless colonoscopy.
And I implore everybody to go to Gary's website, thesimplelifenow.com. I also enjoy seeing Gary get a little upset, because it's a normal human emotion, but I also know he's going to deal with it in a healthy way. But I want to thank everybody in the YouTube chat that's listening and participating. I want to thank everybody that downloads our podcast. Remember to go to benstein.substack.com and on Parler at Ben Stein. And
of course, I wish we could get to Cuomo. We're taking too long.
We are right now. We have plenty of time now. Yeah. I promise you.
On the world.
We will get to Cuomo. And I want to welcome everybody back to The World According to Ben Stein. As you can see, Ben is very excited to speak about the New York City governor, the New York State New York governor, State. I should say. I just want to set this up with two things. So it's a fascinating thing. He's being accused of, I don't even know what he's being accused of, but on the left, we know that he's responsible for 15,000 deaths. Yep. Not important. To the left, what's important is accused. I don't even know, Ben, he's being accused of sexual harassment it's not even assault. And they have totally, I mean, they don't care about 15,000 dead in the nursing homes. What he said at a dinner bothers them more. And that's frightening.
No, it's even worse than that. He did something which was unequivocally foolish and stupid. He's claiming he didn't know. He's claiming he was badly misinformed. He transferred a great number of people who had been infected with COVID to nursing homes where there are a lot of vulnerable elderly people such as me. I'm an old person too. And he transferred them there and did not warn anyone. And so, a very large number of people, between 10 and 20,000, apparently died because of this gigantic mistake, which he lied about, committed by Mr. Cuomo. similar. At the same time, he's being accused by six women so far, maybe it's more by now, of sexual harassment and sexual mistreatment for such things as kissing the woman's hand as she got up to leave the room, for such things as touching the small of her back when she was getting up out of her chair to leave after lunch, for such things as saying to a woman who had confided to him that she was very lonely and sad after her divorce, he's saying to her, would you like me to take you to lunch? These are, to me, trivia compared to what he did with the old people at the nursing homes. It verges upon manslaughter, maybe murder. But somehow that's been pushed under the rug, and what's happening instead is we're concentrating on sexual harassment. There was one instance, alleged, not proved, nothing's been proved at all, where he apparently greeted a woman, immediately put his hands under her sweater, her blouse, or whatever she was wearing, and started feeling her up. Obviously, if he did that, that's very much inexcusable. But compared with definitely sending thousands of elderly people to their deaths, these seem like very unfortunate bad things, but nothing compared to sending people to their deaths. Nothing. What's going on here where we have such a poor sense of proportion?
You just summed up the left, though. You seriously summed up the left.
I know. And what's amazing is the women's lobby, the women's movement, so-called, I say so-called, because I guarantee you I know plenty of women who do not subscribe to this mania. The women's movement is so powerful that they can bowl over like 9 pins, like 10 pins, anyone who gets in their way, even a Cuomo.
Gary?
Well, I want to go back real quick. We need to, before we transitioned over, we need to teach countries and freedom fighters that it's better to fight for freedom than to live under tyranny, instead of invading our country and ruining our country. That's my point as a former veteran, as a veteran. With Cuomo, any first-year criminal prosecutor could put this guy away for the rest of his life. This is Absolutely. Not a complicated case. Absolutely. I'm going to go out on the limb here. New York State, if you want to hire me as a contractor, I will put together enough evidence in 4 weeks to make sure that Cuomo never sees light of day. That's how easy this case is. I worked hundreds and hundreds of cases. I did thousands of interviews. I could put this guy away in a heartbeat. That's how easy this case is. It's disgraceful. These people need to be rotting in jail or prison for the rest of their life, period. That's the only way this ends. And what it is the left is putting out the red herring. Hey, look at the sexual harassment. Oh, look, he touched someone inappropriately. Instead of looking over here, oh, he killed 15,000 people. Oh, no big deal. Oh, wait, he needs to resign. He goes, I'm not resigning. It's, I just lose my mind.
A human life, especially the life of an old person, means nothing compared to the right of women not to have somebody kiss their hand. What kind of craziness is going on here?
But you see, here's the question I have for both of you. You're completely right. This is absolutely, and this always goes to what I say, you can't talk rational to the irrational. So anybody that, I mean, okay, let's put what he's accused of with the women and kill, murder, touching the small of a back, murder, as you said, inviting somebody to lunch, murder, what for the other stupid stuff that he's being accused of, that there's even, how do you engage, Ben, in a conversation with people that have this moral compass, this, it's insane.
Well, they have this group within the Democrat Party has no moral compass. I mean, look at AOC. Here she is. She's insisting that Mr. Cuomo quit. Okay, fine. Not because of the deaths, but because of the insult to women. Look, I have news for you. Of those people who died from COVID in the nursing homes, very likely more than half were women. They don't count. They're not young. They're not shapely. They're not going to be in magazines. They don't count. What's going on here? What kind of
Ben, I need to correct you. It is Dr. AOC to you. Okay. I want to make sure that's clear.
I'm a doctor too.
She graduated with a bartending degree. So yeah. she has a doctorate in mixology.
I love that no one questions that she's still a bartender with a college degree at 28, now just a congressman. Well, great things in life. But maybe she was untalented as a bartender. That's why she couldn't, you know, I'm just saying. But, you know, at 28, I wasn't still a bartender working the job I had in college. Just saying, AOC, just saying that. I'd actually progressed. But, you know, with that, I agree. And the thing, not only would he get convicted, he would get convicted with special enhancements if this was an everyday citizen. This crime is so egregious, so cut and dry, that he wouldn't face just 100 years. He would literally be serving multiple sentences of, I mean, he would literally, it would go into the thousands of years if you convicted him for everything. That's how egregious it is. And that's what I mean. As a guy who used to work in law enforcement and used to work cases, this case is probably the easiest, if not one of the easiest cases I would ever work.
Somebody brought up in chat. Eric brought up in chat a great point, because we see who Biden wanted to appoint, that guy, right? Ezekiel Emanuel, right? Who believes after 75, your life is worthless. And he brings up a great point that to Democrats, the people in the nursing homes, they're just collateral damage from being old. It was their time. You know, who cares about them? It's women's time right now. That's who we care about. And that's their mantra. And I mean, and great point, Eric. I mean, it's an exceptional point that it just goes with their belief system that old people, but I want to get to something else.
I want to throw this out there real quick. This is how much I distrust these people. I wouldn't put it past them that they paid these women to come out with these accusations to throw the scent off. I'm being honest. This is how despicable these people are. They'll go, hey, Nancy, or whatever. I don't know who these ladies' names are. I don't want to disparage their accusations at all. But I would say, oh, he rubbed me on the back. Okay. Because these are hard to prove. So it throws everything off the scent. So, hey, I'm going to give you $250,000. Just throw this accusation out here. I'll go out there. I'll deny all of it. I wouldn't put it past these people that they actually paid off some of these women to say some of these accusations. I would not put it past them. I hope not, because I want to make this very clear. What these accusations are by these women are serious, and I don't want to downgrade them or say they're lying. I don't want to do that. I just don't trust these people anymore. So it puts that in my mind. That's how much I don't believe them.
You mean like they did to Kavanaugh?
What's that?
You mean like they did to Kavanaugh, right? I mean, just the most, you know,
just throw it out there. See if it'll stick. Get them off.
Ben, I gotta ask you, Ben. Have you ever seen? I mean, where our priorities are so damn out of whack, where our belief systems are so. I mean, it's really frightening.
I would say only before the Emancipation Proclamation, when the African-American human being was not treated as a human being, but was treated as a thing, as a piece of chattel property. At that point, America's values were wildly, wildly askew, wildly askew. But since Black people have been recognized as full-scale human beings, which of course they are, I have not seen America's priorities so out of whack as they are right now. And Mr. Cuomo's, to tell you the truth, he's not a nice guy. You can see it just looking at him. And what he did with the old folks at the nursing homes, us old folks, is disgraceful. Very closely akin to murder, but what's happening to him about the so-called sexual harassment cases, that is just plain nuts.
And the fact that we don't have one person in the media, you bring up guts, with enough guts to say to him and to say to the left, Trump offered you, gave the Jacob Javits Center, he sent you the ship. which both of them pretty much remained empty, which could have saved thousands of lives. And this dirtbag was shit talking Trump on a constant basis about how badly he was handling the COVID, about handling COVID, while he gave you the beds to save lives. I mean, like Gary said, this is an atrocity. We know that he's not going to pay the price for it. We know it, and the reason he's not.
I don't know it. With all due respect, I don't know it. I think there may be some woman district attorney or prosecutor who is going to go after him, and she's going to have plenty of backup from other women and from AOC and so forth. And I don't know. He's not going to pay the price. I mean, he should be paying a price for what he did to the by killing the old people. But in terms of the sexual harassment, I don't think he's going to walk away from that. I mean, look at what happened to Harvey Weinstein. I've been in Hollywood a long, long time. I have seen a lot of lies told about people in producers by starlets in Hollywood. I question a lot about what was said about Harvey Weinstein. I question a lot about what people are hungry and angry say about men in positions of power.
You're completely right. And on that note, we are running out of time. You know, we Ben, you and I were constantly talking about with Harvey Weinstein. We have due process in our country, and we don't have due process in our country anymore. We've lost due process, and that's another frightening thing to think about. I want to thank everybody that's been listening and contributing in the chat room. I want to thank Eric for bringing up an amazing point. You're 1 for 100, Eric. Good job. I want to remind everybody to please download all our podcasts at Apple Podcasts and everywhere podcasts. And also, Gary, tell people where they could find your site.
TheSimpleLifeNow.com. And also, just rebranded, renamed the podcast. Now it's The Simple Life with Gary Collins. So go there to listen to my podcast.
And I was just informed it's daylight savings time tonight.
Yes, daylight savings time. So we have to move. I believe we move our clocks forward an hour. I think I may be wrong.
I never get it right. I got to be honest with you. It's like, thank God for everything being electronic now, because it automatically sets for you. But I literally had one. I used to have a clock that I would just wait till that time of year when it changed over, because I could never figure it out. But I want to remind everybody, you can find Ben Stein on Parler at Ben Stein. And of course, spectator.org, read his great pieces. He has a great piece about Governor Andrew Cuomo right now up there. And I want to thank you again, Ben. I wish you safe travels back. If you'd like to take us out in song, I really do think it's fitting, because you teased us in the beginning, but Ball of Confusion, you introduced that song. If you could just give us a little Ball of Confusion to take us out on this Saturday night.
People moving out, people moving in, all because of the color of his skin. Run, 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 but you sure can't hide. That's ball, mixed up Ball of Confusion. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Vote for me and I'll tell you the truth. Run, 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 but you sure can't hide. Anyway, that's as much as I can do tonight. I'm tired of exercising my moral outrage.
You did great, Ben. And I want to thank everybody for listening to The World According to Ben Stein. We will see you back on Tuesday night. Thank you, everybody.